We may get some stuff on this recording that we did not hear when we made it. I'm just saying.
I hope so.
I'm very unsettled.
Well, we are back, unsettled or not.
Yeah.
We are here.
We are here.
It is a trilogy again. Yep. Justin, what cephalopod up? Potential alien person, spirit dwelling in a human body.
Yeah. Here with us. No good for certain.
Uh-huh. The always impressive Morticia Adams returns to our potentially haunted home.
I don't think there's any potentially about it, let me just say.
Which she has now angered.
Yes, I have. Uh-huh.
And you're resident now. I guess I'm the resident alcoholic. Brian.
Yeah.
We're back, guys. We're back again. Obviously, things have not gotten less crazy. But it's just giving us a little more fuel to go on and to talk about. We got an interesting subject for you all today. We're going to talk about conspiracies.
Yeah.
Conspiracy facts, because after a FOIA, is it a theory anymore?
Yeah.
I don't understand this. Like, it's like once you get that moniker, it's too hard to believe. You'll never be believed.
It's
very strange. I have a very interesting whiskey as well.
Sweet.
Now, what we have here is Elijah Craig Small Batch. Elijah Craig Small Batch is considered a mid-shelf. It's made by Heaven Hill. Heaven Hill made a whiskey named after my uncle, Old Dan Tucker, which was a low shelf. He knew the brewer there, and he said that they randomly named those low shelves various things.
Really?
So I'm sure this was a small, limited run.
Well, it's very pretty.
Yes, it's a 94 proof, so it's 47% alcohol. It is a straight Kentucky bourbon. Now, this is what's cool about this. The name Elijah Craig. Elijah Craig was a Baptist preacher. He was born in 1738. He lived 1808. He lived in Virginia. So you hear this and you think, okay. He was the inventor of bourbon. So you're like, wait a minute. Bourbon's Kentucky.
Yeah.
Well, the reason for that is because that part of Virginia became Kentucky.
Yeah.
So that's where we get our Kentucky bourbons. This is a really interesting one. I believe he's the one that started where he would char the barrels.
Yeah.
And do these certain steps that became like the established method for making bourbon. Now, I'm sure Heaven Hill can make a great bourbon. I think all these distilleries can. I associate Heaven Hill with Heaven Hill whiskey directly, which I've had before, which is a low shelf. It's not great.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited to try this one.
I'm very impressed with the bottle.
Yes, the bottle.
It's a sexy bottle.
Fantastic.
I agree. I'm really enjoying the aesthetics, and I'm a bottle person, so it's really speaking to me.
Containers are awesome.
As far as how it smells,
I love the malleability of glass.
Yeah.
In and of itself. I absolutely love glass.
It's, I don't know. It's like, makes me think of water.
All right, guys. Let's give a toast to this podcast and to our future.
Oh, praise God.
That is fantastic.
Definitely gave me my... Ooh.
Yeah.
That's liquor face.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. This is... This is a slightly smoothed out, more honey and vanilla in the aftertaste version of Buffalo Trace. And I cannot believe I just said that.
Yeah.
This is good.
It is very close to Buffalo Trace. Mm-hmm. It's a little sweeter. I can definitely taste the vanilla.
Lots of char. Lots of
that's a lively
oak
beverage.
In that first hit.
Yeah.
Okay, I normally don't even get much into these. Like, I'll try it and be like, it's a good bourbon.
Yeah.
It's this punch, this strength, and then it's this. There's a, I think there's a barrel proof on this as well that I really think I'm going to have to track down. So, yeah, this is really good. So, the distillery that Elijah Craig did was founded in 1789. Actually had a bad reputation at the time for it. And I thought it was a little weird that a Baptist preacher was the inventor of bourbon. Yeah. That kind of blew me away. But yeah, he's the first one to do this distillation in a charred oak casks.
Well, I mean, our modern ideas of what we see as a preacher, or priest, or monk is pretty off the mark. I mean, Trappist ales are Trappist ales because Trappist monks made ale. That's how they sustained themselves, was making ale, and they've made some of the finest ale on the planet for a long time.
Yeah.
90% of the breweries at one time were part of the Christian faith in some way.
Yeah, very interesting fact here is that it's kind of established that this is more of just a legend than anything, the Elijah Craig legend. Yeah. And there's a historian, Henry Crowgrey, and he says that the reason bourbon and the name bourbon exists is actually because corn whiskey, they call bourbon.
Really?
To distinguish it from rye whiskey.
Yeah.
Which is a very interesting thing. I'd never heard that before. But we're getting all the way back into, like, the start of bourbons with this. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
And being somebody who does not ever drink, this is a very big abnormality for me. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely tell the difference when you say that this is middle shelf from the last time.
Yeah.
We had the Greg Dickel or...
George Dickel.
George Dickel, there you go. And it was G. Dickel something. Yeah. It definitely has a little more of a... Help me out here. I don't even know. I'm not even... The alcohol comes through more than...
Yeah.
We had all those subtle flavors coming through in the aftertaste in the last, so... Yep.
Yeah.
Hmm.
This definitely has more of a punch.
Yeah.
What's the proof on this one?
It's 94 proof.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I'm impressed with this. I think that they've leaned on flavoring this with the strong oak and the char at the start. But then they've got it finishing great. I wonder... This is not a single barrel, so I guess this could be a mix. Yeah, small batches, balance of smoothness. I don't know. We're going to have to try the higher offerings of this.
It's definitely a step up from the one we had last episode.
That
one sounded interesting. It was Jameson with a lot of vanilla.
Proper 12 for the
Conor McGregor
mystery Irish whiskey. Yeah. I almost did an Irish whiskey today, but when I was seeing that Virginia, I was like, "You guys from Virginia? What?" And then that was a change in state. That was the deciding factor, and I'm glad because otherwise we'd be drinking mid bottle Jameson and be like, "Oh, it's sweet." Yeah. I don't mind Irish whiskeys, but they're not bourbons.
Yeah.
They're my favorites. So, but anyway, onto the conspiracy world. I try not to dwell on this too much, but I do think there is a weird polarization that goes on. Where if to this day, if something is a conspiracy, there are people that you can flat out prove aspects of that conspiracy to. And they will never hear it. And that shows you how efficiently the label of conspiracy theory still works to this day.
Yeah.
Now, I think that the veil is getting thin. And one of the things was what you posted, Morticia, is that there's this whole Britney Spears thing going on right now. And this is big. This is modern slavery when you look at it. Like, it's kind of established Britney Spears has these mental health issues, but her estate and all of these things are essentially completely under ownership of her father. So her dad owns her, but yet she's gone and done world tours.
She's done world tours. She had a reoccurring show in Vegas for multiple years.
Yes.
She's made something like $18 million over the last 5 years, and... That's insane that she's not in control of her own finances. I mean, this is a woman
in any way.
40 years old.
But when you're talking about that, are you getting to the point that she is out and about and free, however she's still his prisoner in effect?
She has been, in my opinion, what I think has happened with this Britney Spears thing and what we're seeing more of in Hollywood and the whole Me Too movement exposed this a lot, is that they are using a lot of the same manipulation and control tactics that came from Operation Monarch, which is part of MKUltra. This is Justin's ghost alarm that we cannot figure out.
I can't figure out how to get rid of it.
Yes.
I've been trying.
We tried last time, and here it is again.
Yeah, it just keeps on reappearing.
It's trickster.
Well, and I have to credit, again, the fact that social media makes all of this so easy to transmit and to, you know, disseminate this information. But this isn't something new. We just know about it because these are these high-profile females currently. But if you look at the past and you look at people like Michael Jackson, Macaulay Culkin, all of their siblings, they were all treated the same way. And even though at that time they didn't form conservatorships for these people.
Yeah. They were still controlled.
They were still being controlled in the same way. They were still having all their funds funneled from them. Yeah. And it's just like, and I had laughing, you know, earlier with you guys, I talked about abusive relationships and how there's always a formula, like these guys or whoever. The individual that's abusive always has a formula.
Yeah, they repeat the same lines.
They do. They do. It's creepy. I did a thesis on it at one point in grad school because... one, I have personal experience, and two, it's evident. But with these folks, they always, like you had said, they always follow the same pattern. Mm-hmm. And I think in the past, it wasn't such a big deal, for lack of a better phrase, because it was your parent, and you were supposed to just do what they had said. And also, it happened a lot to males back then.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, it's these females who are... I think they're able to be controlled even more because they are female.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the fact that, like, she... You say, you know, Britney did all these world tours and everything, so it would make one wonder why she did not break free. You know, I'm sure her father isn't with her every moment, but you get that... same situation as you do when you're in an abusive relationship. You don't have to be around that person for the shackles to be there.
And she would have had to given up her entire financial empire.
She had no resources, and that's one thing that an abusive person does. They remove all your support systems.
Yeah,
they remove all your resources. They make you dependent on them for everything, even emotional
and convince you that you can't do on your own.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it's a sad state that we're still seeing this and seeing it repeatedly still. I mean, I don't know if you paid attention to the Kesha, Kesha movement just a few years ago.
Well, and Kesha broke out, and Kesha, actually, that song Praying is wild.
Yeah.
Especially considering the timing when she did that song. And then to see how much they controlled, even at that time, her image.
Yes.
You looked anywhere like Kesha got fat. It was all this derogatory nagging, and I couldn't believe that. I was like, she's not, she looks fine.
Well, but also, they sold her as a whore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To start out with. So that when she flipped the script on him, nobody right away believed her because
that's how
her image, her image was that of this whore that was willing to sell herself. So then when she broke away from that, you're right. Then they start making you this thing that nobody wants anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to...
They either try to control you by your overt sexuality or say that you're not wanted sexually. And that's insane. It's insanity. It truly is. You see it repeated constantly throughout modern history. And I really feel like it is a thing of modernity. I think 10,000 years ago, women were much more empowered. We tend to look at the past as though it was much, much worse than it is now. And the more and more we learn about our past, the less it's like it is today. It's
not even only empowered, but revered, valued, protected by their men instead of treated as objects so much as they are today.
Controlled and treated like objects. You see this sexual empowerment. Empowerment movement, especially female sexual empowerment, which I fully support, but the people in power have not embraced it.
well,
and I hate to stray, but I do have a point to get to after we talk about that. But so you bring something up that it's funny that they'll use that sexual power of the female to first of all sell her. Make money off of her, and then as soon as that person is trying to stray outside of her reins,
take ownership,
then they flip it around and use that sexuality to degrade and debase her,
and that is
and take that power away.
Exactly how domestically violent relationships work.
Absolutely.
Look what they did with Britney when she first arrived on the scene. I mean, you're talking about a 16 or 17 year old that they completely sexualized, sold her as a sexual icon,
which. Yeah, which brings us to Millie Bobby Brown right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, 15, 16 right now, yeah, and being made to look like a 30-year-old woman.
Yeah.
And put out there to be, oh, well, she's hot. And, you know, no, yeah, it's insane. Awful.
Yeah. But then they, I don't know, you've got Christina Aguilera, who they slut-shamed for a decade. Like, that's insane. After doing the exact same thing to her.
And, yeah. But then you would have to say, what happened with her? Yeah. That didn't make her end up like Britney, because she's come out of this.
I think shining, she, you know, had what I mean? She had a better support system. Right. Well, what it seems.
Very interestingly,
she had people that had her back.
That's mm-hmm. true, and I hear it was Sturgill Simpson actually said that he was talking to Joe Rogan about his record contract, and he said, "Well, my record contract says I get to do what I want, but a lot of these people literally sell everything, and if you're a 16-year-old yeah. and your parents sign those contracts."
Right.
Yeah.
They own your likeness, your image for eternity.
Yeah.
And this is insane, but you can look at this and see they literally can replace you with another person yeah. if they really wanted to. Yeah. And I think what, Justin, you're talking about, you know, we go, where did this come from? Where did the script come from? Where did the spirit come in that teaches these young men this script of control? And I think it starts around, I think our obsession with this started around the World Wars. And it really ramped up during the wars, and it's not just here. Yeah. You look at what the Nazis were doing. That's like they're the bad guys, so we really focus on them. The Russians did this stuff. Japan, they had the Unit 731, which is still to this day some of the worst war atrocities ever.
Yeah.
So there was this morbid curiosity that spilled over, and we get into the 60s and 70s, and I think this is where a lot of the experimentation with drugs and the obsession of the government with control comes in.
Yeah.
And I think this has trickled out to society. I think we're seeing that now. I heard that as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That was very strange. There was just a noise in the back of our room. There's nothing back there. So, but I think that's what we end up seeing is that we had this kind of obsession with growth, with modernization, but also with control of other nations, maybe. Control of
colonialization.
People. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that was...
You heard it again?
Uh-huh.
Just come on out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm really sorry, guys. This no, was really scary. Stuff this is actually a very loud,
in the room right now.
Audible clicking, scratching noises that are coming from...
A space I'm looking at.
An empty portion of
there.
The house, yeah.
But, you know, all of this stuff happened, and none of it had anything to do with MKUltra. But that brings us back to our point of that quote unquote, I'm making air quotes, of MKUltra that, you know, people don't want to talk about. That's a whole nother level. This yeah. is just stuff, you know, people wanting to be powerful mm-hmm. and the way that they manipulate other people as a human, that's human nature.
It is.
But MKUltra, I'll let you talk about it because I'm too crazy. I'm too much of a conspiracy theorist, and I'll say some stuff that's just off the wall. So I'll contribute, but you lead.
So this is, whenever you hear that word MKUltra, I know the feeling. You're like, oh God, here we go. This dude's going to talk about fucking reptilians and space and all this. That's the effectiveness of mixing in absurdity with fact.
Yeah.
MKUltra is, in fact, has been FOIA'd, Freedom of Information Act. This has been done. The documents are out. It's real.
Even before the documents were out, you had Ken Kesey wrote extensively on his experience with the Great Kool-Aid Acid Test. He was yes. kind of the start of it on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And then you go to the East Coast. You had several people that were being distributed literal LSD-25 from the United States government. And told to give it to their friends for experimentation. And Ken Kesey has never really fit in any box. And he took it a little too far, they thought. So they shut it all down, made it illegal, and arrested him. And his name escapes me. He's very famous on the East Coast, the psychologist.
Leary? Timothy Leary?
Yeah, Timothy uh-huh. Leary. They arrested both of them within 24 hours of each other. And that was within 48 hours of making the drug illegal. And they literally arrested them with drugs they had been given to by the CIA. Literally. Yes. It was LSD-25 coming out of a government-ran lab. That's absolute insanity.
Ken Kesey with the Merry Pranksters pissed him off, so they had to shut it down.
There is a book. This book, I have not been able to finish it. I'm going to be very direct because it is pretty terrifying to me. It's called Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon. It's by David McGowan. And David McGowan goes into the musical revolution of the 60s and 70s. And then starts tying together all these musical artists who died in these weird home invasion, suicide, murders.
That would be interesting.
And ties them directly to their parents who are high ups in the military intelligence. And when you first hear this, you're like, that's weird. So I'm the type to start pulling this up. And it's true. And it gets scary deep. I think the entire cultural revolution of the 60s and 70s, the weird stuff we had happening with Vietnam, I think this was by design. I think that's how significant it was. And I almost think we had almost two factions here fighting over where, what direction we were going to head in.
What I get from MK Ultra is that they were literally testing on how to mind control.
They were.
Which... the funny thing is, they were using plant antigens that tribal peoples from all over the world had been using to free their minds.
Yes.
So it backfired.
It backfired.
I think our government's not very efficient. For the deep, deep conspiracy theories, I have trouble buying into them without proof. Because our government is not as proficient as people think. MKUltra was a known thing as it was happening. They weren't good at keeping it secret. I mean, Ken Kesey, he's never kept his mouth shut. I mean, he never did. To have deep, deep conspiracy to say our government's doing this or this, there would be leaks. There would be absolute definitive proof. That's why I wait until evidence comes in, because we're not good at it. We just aren't. You look at Project Paperclip. We knew the American people were talking about Project Paperclip as it was going on.
Werner von Braun came here and started NASA, essentially.
Yes.
Werner von Braun, the man that designed the rockets that let Germany bomb its neighboring.
And the whole reason Project Paperclip happened, and I understand it, they knew if we didn't snatch up all those German scientists that were Nazis, then the Russians would. So we snatched up as many as we could and said, okay, we'll give you clemency if you work for us.
In this same vein, they stated, hey, they took all these Nazi high-ups by submarine to Venezuela.
Yeah.
To South America. And that, to this day, is like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Could never
people
have
think
made
you're
it
nuts.
To And we know, when you go down there and look, there are Nazi villages down there that speak German to this
and
day.
And whole populations of blonde-haired, blue-eyed kids. Because they worked on it. They worked on creating
We know for a fact, the closest this world has ever had to a classic mad scientist is Joseph Mengele.
Yes.
It was all science to him. This man had no empathy, no emotion, no ethics. He literally, it was just all experimentation to him. We know for a fact he made it to Chile, and he died in 1984 or 1986 on a beach in Chile, a very wealthy man. He never stopped his experimentation. He took Nazi gold to Chile, to their dictator, which that dictator's name escapes me, made a deal with that dictator. That dictator said, I'll protect you. We'll keep you away from the investigations and for war crimes if you continue your work just for me on my enemies. And we have thousands of pages. Mengele was incredibly meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
We have thousands of pages of his journaling and his note-keeping. We know his handwriting. We found his notes in Chile. He proceeded for the next 40 years to still practice his mad scientist. He actually wrote in his journal that he preferred working on the natives of Chile because they had a higher constitution than the Jew.
We know for a fact he was there, and he continued. There's actually a village, name escapes me, they have a tourism board. They literally fly Nazi flags to this day. They speak German. They are white. Yep. They are blonde-haired, blue-eyed. It is insane. You can go there. Like, they're very proud of their heritage. To them, the Nazis were war heroes. That this isn't dark secret to them.
Yeah.
This is something they're proud of. It's pretty mind-blowing.
And when people hear this, they're immediately going to think, what? And like you want to go reference check because I have done this. Yeah. There was actually a show that Tim Kennedy was part of.
Yeah,
where he went and looked into this, and
he
it was
went
shocking.
Down there.
Yeah, he's
Tim
like, this
Kennedy
is,
was
this is
on
real.
The ground in this village talking to people, and they're like selling up the old German village with the frock and the. What's
the Lederhosen and
Lederhosen.
All that stuff?
Yeah, they're selling it up.
But
I
what
mean,
gets me is that people are so fixated by fiction.
Yeah,
and all these things that are but. They can't bring it into their head and wrap their mind around it that those things are happening in real life. And you had talked about mythology.
Yeah.
And I am a firm believer that all mythology is based in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
So you think about all of this and it's like, well, to those people, they were like kings coming in, bringing all this wealth.
Yeah.
Because that wealth trickled down.
Yeah.
And it just brings to mind to me, like, Elizabeth Bathory.
Yeah.
How she controlled this village. Yeah.
She owned
a
But county.
She was a horrible monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she possible. Controlled that village. She brought wealth
she
to the
She owned everything. The county. So right. anyone within her county bounds, she owned.
Yes.
I mean, she's probably the most prolific serial killer the world has ever known.
Correct.
Because she killed with impunity for 40 years. But she didn't commit a crime until her cousin, who wanted her power, tricked her, introduced her to a young royal couple that had a prepubescent teen girl. That's what she was doing, was torturing prepubescent
mm-hmm.
teen
because
girls.
She
would buy them
you.
Off the family and say, mm-hmm. I'm going to make a lady of the court out mm-hmm. of her, teach her how to be a proper lady. Well, he introduced her to a couple knowing that she wouldn't be able to resist offering for this girl to stay with her. Well, once she had killed and tortured that girl, she'd killed royalty. That's not her property.
And the townsfolk, the villagers, the people around her were waiting for an opportunity because they were
knew.
All aware of the fact that she had been consuming. There's no other way to put it. She had been consuming young virgin children from the village for forever. I mean, it was an ungodly amount of people, like 600 or something insane like that.
Well, we'll never know the true number.
Right.
She lived for over a decade long after she was mm-hmm. charged. She made a deal with the judge. She was related in some complicated royal way to the judge. She said, hey, this seat, this house, this countess position has been in my family for 400 plus years. I will give you half my wealth right now if you just put me on house arrest. And so he did. So the plan backfired. She still killed with complete impunity. She literally lived another 12 or 15 years. And her death is so interesting. This was written by three different nurses that were all there that night. Supposedly, she had come down with the bubonic plague. This is 100 years past the last wave of the bubonic plague. We haven't seen the bubonic plague in over 100 years at this point, or 200 years, rather. She is in her 70s, late 70s, like 77, 78, and it took five grown women to restrain her. This is a woman dying of the bubonic plague in her almost 80s in the 1600s.
Yeah.
Like, how has it taken five grown middle-aged women to restrain her? She literally killed one of them by biting their neck.
Adrenochrome.
Well, this is strange that you bring that up. One of the things that is absolutely out there, and you can watch this conversation happen. This guy is kind of a scumbag. His name's Dan Bilzerian.
Yeah.
Dan Bilzerian directly went on Joe Rogan's podcast and said that he had gone down to Mexico and he was getting infusions of 18-year-old plasma.
Yeah.
And he said that not only did it make him feel basically superhuman, but he got dental work done at the same time and they could not get him numb because his body was burning through the numbing agent so
metabolizing it too quickly.
And he swears by this. That When you hear that, that's like, that's a vampire. Yeah. Okay. That's how they work.
So, see, this is why I didn't want to talk about this stuff. But my whole life I've been fascinated by vampires, like obsessed with them. I know everything you can know about them. And when, in 2016, when they started talking about Pizzagate and all this child consumption, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I'll put it, that's all I'm saying. They consume children. I immediately understood exactly what was going on, and this consumption of adrenochrome is the basis of the mythos of the vampire. All through, and Elizabeth Bathory is one of them that goes into that mythos, because she used the virgin blood to keep her young. And you can do that now. You can go out to California and pay big bucks to get infused with, you know, they say it's volunteer blood. I don't know. But anyway, that and it's keeping these people young.
That's true, too.
My only issue with this theory is the word adrenochrome first appeared in print with Hunter S. Thompson, which he literally put that in as a joke. Yeah. It said so directly after being printed. It was in the Kentucky Derby as both Decadent and Depraved this year, 1972. Mm-hmm. He mentioned doing adrenochrome. The whole reason why he mentioned it, he mentions getting some adrenochrome and Muslim Satanist, is because he had been called in public a Satanist the year before, and he was jabbing at the Christians that controlled Kentucky at the time.
Uh-huh.
He was jabbing. He made this word up. and the science behind adrenochrome doesn't really play out. Now, infusing plasma, direct plasma, that plays
that
out.
Works.
The science works. Extracting pure adrenaline, they say that you increase fear in the child and that brings out the adrenaline. It doesn't have the shelf life. It breaks down.
Well, that's why you would want it directly from the source.
Yeah, but
at the moment,
it's almost impossible to infuse it to get a benefit. Pure adrenaline would just up your heart rate. It wouldn't heal you. It wouldn't make you younger.
It's now, catabolic, actually.
Direct plasma infusions would. Injecting the blood of a younger person or the CSF, cerebral spinal fluid of a younger person, would change you metabolically. But I have trouble with the adrenochrome thing just because of the name source.
The name,
and I don't see the science as working. I do believe that there are some very powerful people consuming the youth. I have trouble with the word. And I think in a time where we're post-truth, this post-postmodernism, where we're post-truth, where words don't matter, I strive to make them matter. The words we use, because that's how you have validity. Words have power. They always have. I mean, you look at all the face of the world, all the myths of the world was started with a word, the word, or the song. So I'm very particular about the words I'll use. That's why people kind of lose me when I've talked to a lot of people that don't know what the fuck they're talking about with the whole adrenochrome thing, and they're like, oh no, it's proven, and then they try to show me their proof, and it's just more people repeating the exact same thing they just said. There's no science, there's no proof.
Well, it was the stem cell research on you could do regeneration of torn ACLs and MCLs that started this for me. And there was actually Daniel Cormier had it done.
Yeah.
And so they're saying the spun plasma can do it too. So you can get it done here. You could not get the stem cells injected. And a lot of guys were going to Portugal and getting it done.
Yeah.
And Mexico. Then the next thing came out with Dan Bilzerian, who was extraordinarily wealthy, being like, I think a professional influencer, but he wasn't. He was kind of like fooling everyone.
A guy that is wealthy and no one knows why.
He was like a trust fund kid that sold himself, but he straight. So this is the kind of guy that's going to fuck up and tell you the secrets.
Yeah.
And he said that, and I was blown away by that. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
So, well, I think what gets them is that some of them, like you said, like he's one of those that it's like, I can't keep the secret because I have to be the cool kid.
Yeah.
And he got, it's all ego. He got completely tanked. His reputation was tanked almost like a female celebrity. It was like, you're famous for the sake of being famous, and then suddenly he wasn't.
Yeah. It was strange. I mean, they're always trying to bring down people to speak truth. I mean, look at Rogan right now. They've been gunning for Rogan for so long.
Who just had COVID, used all the things you're not supposed to use, and he was fine in 3 days.
He beat it. And he was never an anti-vaxxer. He never once... He just believed in choice. He believed it should be your choice. He said that numerous times, hundreds of times, literally hundreds of times.
What got Rogan was he had Dr. Rhonda Patrick on. Yeah. Dr. Rhonda Patrick said a very straightforward scientific fact. This woman is an absolute genius. Yeah. I respect her highly. She said, I watched the episode live when it happened. She said, the only correlate we're seeing right now are low vitamin D levels tend to be a problem for severe side effects of COVID. So you should probably have your vitamin D levels up.
And this is the thing. With that, there's more corollary evidence for this because you look at how hard the first wave hit the black population.
Yes.
And the Hispanic. And 90% is the estimate of blacks living above the Mason-Dixon line have the lowest levels of vitamin D because they have a darker skin. They need more sunlight to create vitamin D. That's where we get our vitamin D is from this amino acid that's present on our skin that the sun breaks down, leaches into our skin as vitamin D. Also,
the black population is most likely to be lactose intolerant.
That's true.
So they're not going to get vitamin D fortified from the milk. From the milk.
Which we add that to the milk.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Which is very interesting. We realized a while back that industrialization was... really messing the body up. Yeah. And so they were like, let's just supplement. Squirt it in the milk.
And that's so funny. That's one of the things I've been researching. We, as hunter-gatherers, we had a perfect diet, literal perfect diet. It was
the Mediterranean diet.
Varied, and it went with
and
the
seasonal,
seasons.
And seasonal.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
you
always
got
luckily
the vitamins
sourced.
You needed when you needed
you got
them.
All the vitamins and nutrients you needed from our diet. And then we started cultivating, which... on a long enough time frame is always going to take the nutrients out of the food we're eating. When you mass produce something in that's why crop rotation is a thing, because you suck the nutrients out of the soil, you're sucking the nutrients out of the food as well. And then we've gotten so far away from nature that we literally had to put the nutrition back into our food.
We did.
How insane is that? And we tend to look at Paleolithic peoples as the stupid ones. Where,
like, we don't eat to be... We don't eat for nutrition. We eat for fullness.
Yeah. We don't eat for nourishment.
That's the problem, unfortunately.
We eat for not only fullness, but for pleasure now, which is a whole new thing, which I'm a huge foodie. I love to eat.
Yeah.
I love to cook.
Yes.
But I would still love it even if I was foraging for it. You know?
Yes.
Like, I just think it's insane.
Think how much more satisfying.
Well, this is the thing that
if
I have.
You earned it.
Yes.
I've realized from... the transformation of my own body. Also, you can make your own vitamin D if you're mutated, which I am.
Really?
Yeah, redheads make their own.
I did not realize
vitamin D. We do. It's not sufficient, but also we have the palest skin, so we're pretty much we're like northern, no sunlight people.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Inuit Indians; their face and hands are a higher temp than normal.
Yeah,
that's where this mutation came from. Also, Malcolm X, he was a redhead.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
So it exists amongst every race.
Yeah.
It pops up. It's the M1CR.
And some of us are hidden.
Yeah.
I'm a redhead.
She's
a
redhead.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't like red hair, but I am a redhead.
You're a natural redhead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Full mutation? There's a partial mutation. The guys that have the brown hair and the red beard, they're partial.
I mean,
I wouldn't know what
the specifics are on that, but my hair is red when I don't dye it. It's like a real dark,
I don't know how to describe
it. Like, you can see it's red in the sun.
I
don't like it.
I'm actually the only child of my father that's not a redhead.
That's my sister's a darkie.
My dad's a redhead. My mom's red.
That's a term.
My mom's
it's
a redhead.
It's not a racist term.
Right.
My brother, little sister, all redheads.
Your brother is extremely redhead.
Yeah, my sister is even redder than him.
Yeah.
She's an extreme ginger.
Where I was going with this is there's a difference between the hungry that you're trained to be, the hunger of stress, the hunger of daily routine, and what I call body hungry.
Yeah.
And now I know to get myself to the point of body hungry.
Yeah.
And
so I actually
there
need
is,
nourishment.
There is just a whole different planet of enjoyment of food when you're body hungry. But it's hard to get to. And it takes a lot for me to get there now.
This goes back to something we've mentioned many times on the podcast, or I have, facilitated pathways in the brain. We are creatures of habit. That's very strange. There's a lot of oddity happening with sounds today. And
by the way, we will get into this when we close. The cicadas are out here finally.
Oh, and let's talk about this. Aaron and I beat Brian to the dumpster fire this evening, and we found 5 monarch butterfly caterpillars, which normally they are around at the end of March, or end of May, rather. Yeah, completely out of season. We found millions. I would say millions, correct?
Yeah, it has to be millions. I've never seen such a thing.
Literally an entire vining milkweed, which we didn't even know was a thing.
Well, and plus that whole section of your yard is covered in it. So that just whole covered. It must all be like where you've mowed down vining milkweed.
They are.
But all the stalks are just covered.
We
it's
will
orange.
Be posting the pictures I took this evening. Way out of season. That's very odd. And we had the second wave of cicadas.
Which is the first wave here. I actually was worried because I had commented we were going to do an episode with the cicada noises in the background. This will be it. The door is kind of open. You should be able to hear them subtly in the background. We never got to do that because they were never here. Now
they were never
here
on this property, which is very odd because they were on my property.
Yes.
Very abundant.
I could hear them in the distance, but I was really hoping for them so my chickens could get that protein.
Yeah.
And
it just
I
never
saw
really
one.
Came.
Yeah, the last 17 years ago, I was in Bloomington, Indiana, and they were so abundant there they had to put wet road signs out or slick road signs out because people would skid on the cicadas.
That's
and
so gross.
They're not quite that abundant in Louisville, but they have been extremely abundant.
And in Bloomington, they would come out, and I remember walking to class, and you would feel, it was like being at a concert. You'd feel that in your chest rise.
Yeah,
like,
you'd feel that vibration. Yeah.
And then they'd drop off, and it drove my friend crazy. Yeah. He hated it so bad. Yeah. It's like, dude, this is magic.
Yeah, I don't like. I don't mind it at
that
all.
That ecstatic
I think it's
sounds
very,
of nature. We need that.
It's a metal concert.
Vibration
it's
is set, that.
It's an orgy. Yeah. I mean, like, you, and we talked about this before. That rising and bursting and everything, and it is. It speaks to us at this primal level that I think some people maybe can't handle, but it really is. It is a call to us that speaks to a part of us we don't connect to so often,
it's
I think.
The rising
off topic right now.
honeycomb and buzzing of bees in the lion's skull, which is an image that is present in every myth across the globe. There is a people on every land we know of that have some myth that involves a lion's skull with the buzzing of bees and honeycomb.
It's Samson,
Samson on his way to a wedding, which weddings in myth all across the globe are a union of the past, present, and future in a meditative or trance state. You see it across. And when the meditator or the journeyer or the shaman is trying to reach a transitive state, it is a union of their spirit to the past, present, and future. It's three things coming together to form one thing. And so whenever weddings or marriage are mentioned in myth, that's what they're talking about. And it almost always comes side by side with a honeycomb and a skull. And that is the goal, the dripping down, the transitive state.
Now this is going to be generic, but there is a band that I love called Amorphis, and most of their music is based off the Kalevala, which is the like epic hymn of their country.
Yeah,
and there's a song, the last one that came out was called The Bee.
So yeah,
they build their castles in the heads of kings, bring life to the empty halls, and it's about a bee choosing a skull and raising a king.
That is all about the subconscious. That is about uniting the foreconscious and the subconscious.
And speaking of the subconscious, and in tying this all back together, Justin, what you spoke of earlier, like the government's not that organized, you know.
Yeah.
We approach these things with a hypothesis, and the government, when I think of this, I think they do have intelligent people that they fund.
They do.
I think immediately of Rick Strassman. Now, this is my book recommendation. It's called DMT, The Spirit Molecule.
Yeah.
Now, Rick Strassman actually did research into DMT in, I believe, the 90s.
Yeah.
And this is probably the man that changed my thinking on a lot Thank of you. Things. Rick Strassman actually thought that melatonin in the brain was the cause of near-death experiences, the tunnel, the light, and all these things.
Yeah.
So he did his experience into melatonin, and he found out, hey, this does have an effect. Interestingly, he kept the brain from releasing melatonin by flashing a certain frequency of light at people, which we do voluntarily now with our phones and televisions. Mm-hmm. Turn your night filters on, people.
Yeah.
Please turn those on. You're getting 6,000, 7,000 Kelvin. It's telling you it's broad daylight.
Yeah.
But Rick did not find what he thought he would find with the melatonin. It did not cause the near-death experience that he thought he would see. So, he had then hypothesized, well, I think the pineal gland can release this molecule called DMT. Mm-hmm. And DMT is present in everything.
Every living creature.
That's your constant one, toad venom, the lick the toad. Mike Tyson did that. Yeah. He actually said it changed his life, and I believe it did. He's a different person now than he was before. But he started doing this research legally in the 90s. And when he does it, he actually said that he kind of started having issues consolidating what he was seeing in the results with what he came at this for. And he said that it mimicked very similarly the prophetic experiences of the Hebrew Bible.
Yeah.
Because your sense of self was maintained, but you were an observer in the spirit world. You were a guest.
Yeah.
Justin, this mimics what you did with ayahuasca.
Yeah.
These all are very, very similar to one another. What he started seeing was that over and over again, people had the same type of experiences.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They've actually done a study.
And this, what is it, the blue or purple, like there's an entity that is...
The machine elves.
Yeah, is one that's that people see. One of the things they're called. What we found is, I believe it was 2005, they had 27 people in Peru have a shaman experience. And they literally had grad students, psychology grad students on site. They did the ayahuasca ritual, which is a full ritual. It takes hours and you have to fast. And there's a lot before you can imbibe the ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. But the ayahuasca experience itself is very quick. You lose all sense of time. But usually a half an hour to an hour. But regardless, they took these 20-some people, put them through the ritual, and then immediately after they said they weren't feeling the effects anymore, they were interviewed individually by psychology students. And what they found was every person there saw the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for a hallucination to be a hallucination, it has to be, in fact, not real. For it to be classified as a hallucination. If 27 people saw the same thing, it ceased to be a hallucination. There is no mechanism in science as we know it to cause a group hallucination. So if 27 people verify one thing, it's real. It is reality. And I've read the Spirit Molecule. I've read several books on... hallucinogenics, plant antigens, and had many experiences myself. And I fully believe we're experiencing a fourth dimension in that state. And I think humans have always experienced this, found ways to... It's the same thing you experience in Kundalini yoga.
Sweat lodges.
Every
vision
quest.
It doesn't about that take, with the rites of passage.
Exactly, it doesn't take a plant antigen to experience this. We can access our own DMT reserves in our brain, and I think it has actually given us access to a higher plane, or given us the ability to observe a higher plane. I think that higher plane is always there. I think
it's something that all living creatures, well, I won't say all, but many living creatures strive to find, because if you think about it, like jaguars and there are multiple, even like dolphins will play with puffer fishes to get high. I mean, it's this...
Sharks will lay at the bottom of themselves. Areas where
fresh water meets salt water because the water becomes super oxygenated, and they will literally, there's videos on YouTube of divers just rolling these great whites over and over again. They're not even reacting. Their eyes are open. They're conscious. They're just high. Right. They're in a transitive state, and it's a transitive ecstatic state, and those states are not all created equal. I think they can vary from person to person, and I think the experience can vary greatly person to person, but I think it's all in accessing this fourth dimension, and I think you've nailed it on the head there, and is that all creatures strive for that. I believe every creature on the planet probably does.
Maybe that's like that is probably the truest form of spirituality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We all have this commonality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ascension to that fourth dimension, and it makes you think, it makes you wonder. Most mythologies across the world, for as far back as we can peer into our own past, see a past life and a future life. I would think that would be in a fourth dimension. That's where that's taking place. We're actually stepping into ascension at that point.
Well, it's very interesting. There's a quote from Strassman. This is where we get back into how our government handled this man's research. He said that even though the research, he felt like it was educating him, he was learning something. He said, it also left me feeling confused and concerned about where the spirit molecule was leading us. Yeah. It was at this point that I began to wonder if I was getting in over my head with this research. And the government came in and shut him down.
Well, this is the problem I'm learning, is you're talking about 190,000 years on estimate that modern humans lived before what we consider modernity and the planting of crops and the building of civilization. So literally this has been 5 minutes. The last 10 millennia have been 5 minutes in our time. But when we do things like plant antigens, we take away the ritual, and I think those rituals were there for a purpose. These are people that had done this for 100,000 generations. I mean, literally their experience. I mean, why do the Hoppus River Valley people, right, ancient pre-Hindu Indians, have 27 different words for consciousness? Yeah. I mean, they're experienced. They know things that about our own minds that we've forgotten. We've actually worked hard to suppress. And I, with my own experiences, I've had bad so-called trips. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder, is it because I cut out the ritual? Is it because I cut out the work? I didn't fast. I didn't practice reverence and gratitude. I didn't go through the pain.
You experienced what we are seeing with modernity.
Yeah.
That is the same type of ugliness that we're talking about, where this power control trip comes in.
Yeah.
And maybe that was it, man. Maybe you were in the wrong headspace. You were in that. You were on that vein.
I think
of like
the ritual's there for a purpose. This is something that developed over 200,000 years. I think cutting it out is essentially saying, I want all of the benefits without putting in the work.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to experience more ritual practice in my life, to understand it better. I think they knew that playing with your consciousness could be problematic. I think they understood that, had seen it, had experienced it for generations, and understood how to approach it, and understood you can't just bottle and sell it. You can't just put a happy face on it. That's why I'm kind of against the therapies that I'm seeing pop up. Because once the pharmaceutical companies get a hold of DMT, it's done. I mean, this is not something that's made for the masses.
It kind of goes back to talking about how we had spoken, well, I had conjectured that, you know, you have to get to this level in your body of certain electrolytes, there has to be certain conditions met before you can
truly
get into that.
Anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, which also then brings me back to thinking about this Russian experiment. I don't remember the details of like the name, but I mean, I remember exactly what they were doing. They kept people awake forever.
Yeah,
do you remember this?
The sleep experiment. Yeah.
Yes. And so it also then, that kind of ties into the MKUltra thing, even though they obviously were different governments, but it was the same type of situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
they wanted to see how much they could do to these people and what it would do to them, you know, mentally and emotionally and all that. And
we were always, for a long time, testing the boundaries of what it is to be human and where
and extremes
are
of these things that we take for comfort or for rest, those things, and what would happen to us if they had deprived us of that.
The Unit 731 out of Japan is probably the most extreme of that. And actually, that was it gets its fame from biological warfare, but they did a lot of different things that were very extreme. My sister argued that she thought the Japanese had this almost essence of brutality from Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and I was like, I don't think so. I mean, people still live there to this day.
Yeah,
like those were kind of no, I don't think so. They had seppuku before that. Yeah. Like that was really brutal.
They had brutality.
They had transcended the body in a way. Like.
Yeah.
It was more of the experience, the honor, all these things, and to sacrifice the body was...
Well, a lot of times, in myth, you see, the myth of Medusa, which recent feminist movements have taken it as face value, and taken Medusa as kind of a feminist icon, which I fully support those feminist movements, mm-hmm. but I think they're misunderstanding the myth. In myth, every actor or character in a myth represent some sort of natural phenomenon. And in the myth, she was raped and then murdered. But it's not as what you think. What that is a union with the goddess. She is the goddess. And you have to pull the goddess apart for her spirit to be free. Without her dying, she remains in a corporal form, contained. It had nothing
and
to do...
And limited.
Yeah, and very limited.
There's
as a mortal.
There's always a limitation to go with this flesh.
It had nothing to do with man's power over woman. The sexes could have been switched, and it wouldn't have changed the thought process of the myth. The myth is about natural cycles of destruction and rebirth, and through destruction we're freed to be reborn. And
well, I think a lot of it with Medusa also is that, which is again is way off topic, but I think a lot of it was a warning.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about turning a man to stone, I mean, we all know what we're talking about here. I mean,
yeah.
Prince even said it's pussy control. It's a warning. This woman is going to captivate you because for lack of a better word, she's going to keep you hard as a rock. We all know that happens. That there's a woman that is, I think probably everybody has a person in their life that is this magnet to them and a trap in a way because...
Really? I've never experienced that.
Stabbed, sir.
So, I think Medusa was a warning, and kind of like that siren song.
We
that
look
you
at the snake throughout ancient traditions. It is the writhing of the subconscious. It's something we have to wrangle with. It's venomous. It's dangerous, and we have to wrangle it.
But yet they're beautiful and captivating.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you've nailed it. Where
I'm
she
a
is,
Slytherin, baby.
She is the. she is the shimmering goddess. She is captivation.
Like the men couldn't resist to go and see her, even though it was doomed.
You had to destroy that to control the shimmering snake that is our subconscious.
And I think all of this goes back to, even though I know we've gone way off topic, you can still see how this all leads to MK Ultra because they sought after getting these people to that state for. Okay, so we kind of go into this state voluntarily, whether it's through the use of DMT or ayahuasca or whatever.
Or meditation.
Or meditation.
Exercise.
Or tantric sex or whatever to get to this higher level.
I love all the things you just named.
But the government used it against these people for their own gain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it all goes back to that. I mean, all of these myths, all of the things we've talked about, it lends to... the government sitting around thinking, hey,
colonization of
how
business.
Can we yeah, yeah how can we use this against minds. These people to our yeah. advantage yes
it is colonization yeah. of our minds.
I think so too.
Which it's a
and so then advantage. Talking about MK Ultra yeah. we had talked about earlier before we started recording about if you watch certain celebrities mm-hmm. and these and you can and this is something you can go right on to Google or wherever you want and you can look this up. They'll call it glitches or glitches in the matrix or mm. something like that, or just look up MK Ultra glitches yeah. Yeah. and you will see Al Roker,
yeah,
you'll see Eminem,
yeah,
Beyonce, you'll see Lady Gaga take 6 hours to get to the car. Who I mean, there are so many examples of this happening, and you watch that, and it's not any kind of behavior that you can rationalize.
Yeah.
And so then it lends to the fact that all these people have had some sort of programming that is above and beyond what we would see in our normal lives.
Programming yeah. through trauma.
Yes.
I know the one
trauma,
that really stood
drugs,
out to me.
All yeah. of abuse yes. of various kinds.
This is the one that I don't know. I mean, I don't know how easy this would be to find, but I watched it happen. Katy Perry had this very bizarre moment where she was on stage and she started rambling and just didn't make sense and collapsed. Yeah. And then that kind of disappeared. Yeah. Like, oh, she's got exhaustion. Mm-hmm. Exhaustion is like...
It's always exhaustion, yes.
It is. Something is going on here.
I don't know. As someone who's gone days without sleep, though, I feel that. And there's been yeah. times that I felt like I rambled and collapsed.
Well, I think we've been on this podcast and rambled and right. collapsed because we've done this with the sleep deprivation
yeah.
on an epic
level. Well, yeah,
level.
But there's a difference between our rambling
yeah.
discussions that yeah. just yeah. automatically segue into things because that's yeah. the normal progression.
Yeah.
And then these people who are there for a purpose, they're performing yeah. something they've done hundreds of times, most likely, yeah. and practiced even more than that. And then suddenly they have a glitch.
Yeah.
They get stuck. They're programming. Whatever. You know, it's like a robot that catches.
This all brings me back to another one of my favorite conspiracy so-called theories, and it's one we've talked about before, that this is all simulation.
Oh, yes.
I've
yes.
felt some glitches before.
Right. There's a glitch tree in North Vernon. I don't know if you've all ever noticed this.
What's that?
But I call it the glitch tree. I say, hey, glitch tree, every time I pass it. It's right on State Street, which I call Death Row, because there's like, what,
yeah.
five
yeah,
or
yeah,
three or whatever.
Well.
I think everybody does in North Vernon. But yeah. So if you're heading south on State Street
yes.
in North Vernon, right past the first, and I can't remember the name of the, it's not Devon Sharp, they would be on the left,
yeah.
and it's before you get to Devon Sharp, mm-hmm. it's on the right,
yeah.
this tree literally goes like this, and it does this 90 degree, and then another 90 degree,
yeah.
and I don't know how, it's a pine, it's a
yeah.
pine tree, so catch it.
I know exactly what
it's,
you're
it's
about.
A glitch tree, it's like
I will
the
check
weirdest
out.
Thing. So if
yeah,
I ever say,
I'm
meet me at the
Street.
Glitch tree, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
If the world ends and I say, meet me at the glitch tree, it's
yeah.
there.
Gotcha.
But so I would love to tell some people, some more people to look up and see these videos because they're unexplainable. Beyonce courtside, I think it was the Knicks. You know, and yeah, you can say it's exhaustion.
Yeah.
But I've been exhausted. I'm a lifelong insomniac. So
yeah,
lack of sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm a workaholic, so lack of sleep and exhaustion
me
are my
too.
Norm.
Yeah.
Never have I acted like this. Like, there's no
yeah.
explanation for it.
The only thing I've done like this is when I was younger, I had obvious trauma from my childhood, and I once pushed myself to the point, twice actually, where I was riding home with Paul Belding. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I looked over, and I saw giant, like, World War I troops come out of a trench. That was the side of the road, and then I shook my head, and it was mailboxes.
Really?
And I was like, whoa. So another time, I was driving home, and I believe this was with Clifton Cornett. I don't remember who I was with. But I looked to the right, and I watched F1 car tires, a chassis, and then the helmet of a guy fall and was driving beside us and blinked, and it was gone.
Wow.
But the whole time, I was talking to them like, man, I'm way too tired. I'm like dreamscaping, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, they didn't really notice anything different about me.
Yeah. I've suffered glitches in the Matrix that other people were witness to. I mean, it was not isolated in my own mind.
Uh-huh.
I've talked about most of them on the podcast here. There was a moment my father and I had when I was about 14.
Yes.
You know the moment when a light bulb goes out and the room instantly changes?
Yes.
In literally a flash? We had one of those moments. We were literally cooking. I was manning the microwave. He was manning a sandwich maker on the other side of the kitchen. And we both paused at the exact same time and was like, did the light just go out? And then we look up and see that the light's on. It's fine. And we realized we'd been watching football. It was a Sunday. And my house is tiny. You can hear the TV in the kitchen. And we realized, we're like, well, maybe it was a power surge or something. Maybe the light flickered. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't hear the TV. We left the kitchen. And all of a sudden, we could hear the TV. Like, we walked out of a bubble. Literally just 2 feet difference. And yeah, we could hear the TV perfectly versus not hearing it at all. And then when we stepped back in the kitchen, we couldn't hear the TV anymore. And then we tried it one more time, and we could hear it in the kitchen. Like, the bubble had finally burst. But it was literally like a glitch in the Matrix. It was like we were in a different space-time continuum for a split second. I mean, it lasted minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
But still, I've had several moments that just didn't add up. Like, this is all a simulation. Which my nihilistic tendencies seems to be okay with.
Right.
When you're naturally a nihilist, it's pretty easy to buy that this isn't real. Especially when you've taking DMT on purpose.
On purpose, and went to that other edge. So, I will close with this, because this is the thing that really, like, this one got me, okay? If you all remember the infotainment of the, like, 90s and 2000s, you had your Howard Sterns and all this.
Yeah.
And in my book, the king of that was Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Alex Jones
yeah.
is hilarious. He's this boisterous, larger-than-life person.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the line, Alex Jones starts doing these documentaries on his own. He starts getting this independent streak.
Yeah.
And he's telling everybody, like, there's this Bohemian Grove, and they worship Moloch. And they go and do this thing, and all these senators. And they're like, what? And he's like, yeah, it's a big gay sex thing. Whatever he said back then. Sounds totally crazy. Yeah. Well, he has a friend of his say, I can get you in there.
Yeah.
And he sneaks him into this thing. And they film this, I forget what they... something of care. They burn an effigy. Yeah. They burn it in front of this owl god.
I want to say it's the release of care, something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that. It's something
and
really
they act
up.
Like it's a human baby and all this good stuff.
This
yeah.
You can watch this whole documentary. Uh-huh. So you're watching this documentary thinking, okay, this is weird. This is some weird stuff. Yeah. Well, this is what got me big time. After this, he goes and he's a journalist at the time, so he can get in places, he can talk to people. They hadn't recognized him at the time. You know, there's yeah. so many journalists. He talks to this man, David Gergen. Yeah. David Gergen was he was an advisor for Nixon, Gerald Ford, Reagan, and Bill Clinton.
Wow.
And he starts talking to him about Bohemian Grove, and the man's like, well, he thinks he's a member. He's like, well, you know you're not allowed to talk about that. This is all filmed. He did this. He stopped this guy on the street. And he's like, well, I was there, man. He's like, I saw it all. And the guy goes nuts. He's like, yeah. I disdain you. You're not supposed to share these things.
Yeah.
It's surreal. Okay. Mr. Gergen now, he is a senior political analyst for CNN.
Wow.
That's so a man that openly admitted he's a member of Bohemian Grove, that he's gone to these things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what's that amount to? This guy, this crazy dude, saying online that the frogs are gay because of atrazine. He's not kidding. That was Seymour, Indiana actually had some of those mutated frogs.
Yeah.
That were having multiple legs, and it was just, it's a chemical that's messing them up.
Yeah.
And they rail him for it. Well, he also said this about Bohemian Grove, and he also said this about the Bilderberg Group.
Yeah.
And he's been right more than he's been wrong. I don't know. Okay, I can't say he's been right more than he's been wrong.
I'll say that.
He's been right about some things that were so over the top. And when you follow it up, I'm like, what on earth is going on here?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's where I'm at with that.
There's times that he purposely says things that aren't true, mm-hmm. and it's very obviously to
keep the attention and to get people arguing and paying attention. And the dude needs ADD meds to get him to just finish a sentence is work. But yeah, a lot of the things he said have come true or been true. I've looked pretty deeply into him, and it's like a 60-40 split. He says a lot of things that are just to get attention, and that's obvious. But in the world we live today, you can be deplatformed. If you don't maintain attention, you lose it completely. It's real easy. It's really easy to keep attention if you just say crazy shit all the time.
Right.
I think he's kind of mastered that.
He's mastered being the heel, but at the same time, he'll get this very serious.
Yeah, he'll drop some truth on there.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. And that is the number one reason why people started trying to deplatform Rogan was because he would host Alex Jones.
And Alex was not
Well, Tim Pool, same thing with him. He totally.
If you want to see what kind of sold me on Alex Jones, too, is you got to watch the Joe Rogan episode with him and Eddie Bravo. This is a more modern thing. This is probably Trump era. And if Bravo's a flat earther, I don't know if Bravo's really a flat earther, but that's kind of his end of fame.
Yeah.
And Alex gets drunk and just loses it on him. And he's like, I got a $20,000 satellite. I can see Saturn. And it's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And Eddie's just like, Alex, chill. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
But it's great. And I was like, okay, all right, he's not going to fall for everything.
Yeah.
He bought a $20,000 saddle or telescope.
Yeah.
Not a satellite. And if he did that, he's got the right kind of curiosity.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It is crazy, man.
Yeah, the flat earth thing.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a whole.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, that's a whole episode of its own.
Yeah.
This is, and I think what it is these are the type of things that are dropped in. Frequently, to be like almost extreme. Dinosaurs aren't real, things like that.
I think they're done very purposely because that's how we become post-truth. You put enough disinformation out there, everyone questions everything.
Yeah.
That way, when you do come across something true or half-truths, you still doubt it because of all the crazy bullshit out there. For entertainment purposes only, I both advise you to join a Facebook group that I've recently joined called Christians Against Dinosaurs. It is so much, so much fun.
I can't do it.
Just lambasting their ideas is that's a day in itself. It's a lot of fun, but yeah. They truly believe this stuff. It's pretty absurd.
I would also encourage anyone who's not already there to join a Facebook group. Tales from the Dumpster Fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tales from the Dumpster Fire Facebook group, folks. Come on there. You can tell us
what
you think. Please tell us. I've got some stuff on some conspiracy theories that I saw, and I was like, these are nuts. And then other ones I fact-checked. Like, this is a FOIA. Like, there's a Freedom of Information Act request on this, and the documents are there. Yeah. I said we were going to close earlier. I'm going to close on this one. Operation Popeye.
Yeah.
This happened during Vietnam. I told you guys I'd fill you in on this one.
Cool.
Is this the HAARP?
This is HAARP. This leads into HAARP. This was in the 60s and 70s. Operation Popeye was something the U.S. government did to extend the monsoon season in Vietnam to make it harder for them to use the tunnel systems and everything they'd built and to bog them down. They didn't have the modern transport. They didn't have helicopters and planes like we did.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
Now they did, this was more traditional stuff like cloud seeding and stuff. But that was the 60s and 70s. They were putting this much effort into that then. Do you really think they quit?
Yeah.
I don't.
That brings me to an interesting one that I've come across several times. Starfish Prime. In the Johnson Atoll, which is in Hawaii, they launched two launches of nuclear warheads into our atmosphere and set our entire atmosphere on on fire. We know this happened for a fact. The ozone layer, the hole in the ozone layer was literally discovered 5 years later. It's crazy. And that information wasn't released till 2016.
Like, there you go,
folks. Like, we know for a fact that we set our own atmosphere on fire playing around. It's the two largest...
Playing around.
Yeah.
Like it. Oh,
that's
shit.
Literally all it was. They were seeing what the effects would be if they shot nuclear weapons into space and it set them off. And it turned out what it did was burn up our fucking ozone. And that's one of the big ones.
There you go, folks.
And it's a great band name, Starfish Prime.
It is.
So that's all I got.
Maybe that'll be our band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
Starfish Prime.
Yeah.
Signing off. Yeah. Folks, thanks again for listening to us. Yeah. This went a little long, but we're glad for it. We're glad to be back. I mean, we're all a little stressed. We're all having a little bit of issues, you know, in our personal lives and stuff, but we're here, and we want to be here. We want to be here with you all.
Yeah, we want to keep going with this.
We do. We want to hear your feedback.
Give us episode ideas, because if it's left up to us, we will just ramble.
Yeah.
Go on the site and give us some ideas, guys.
What do you want to hear about?
Yeah, what do you want us to discuss?
What do you want us to go look up and form opinions on and
we'll discuss
regurgitate
whatever.
To you?
Yeah, we'll discuss whatever. That's what this is here for.
Major props to the first person that starts the thread.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to be the hero.
Yeah. So,
folks, thank you again. And until next time.
Next time, guys.
Keep on dumpster diving.
Keep on dumpster diving.
To all the wanderers.
Wanderers.
Free thinkers.
And throwaway kids.
Welcome to the dumpster fire.
Let's get dumpster diving.